Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17.
So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, May 10th, 2024. A couple announcements before I introduce our special guest who's filling in for Pastor Jason Schiffo. But those of you that were a part of the First Lady Ministry on Tuesday, wow, what a great turnout. I think 41 or 43 women of God gathered. Many of them are First Ladies or pastors themselves or oversee various ministries. We gathered in Springfield at the Salvation Army Community Center and had a glorious time. There was times of prayer, of sharing, and also L.T. Doss, Sister Doss, shared a powerful message on prayer, the importance of being an intercessor, how to press forward with that responsibility, knowing that God loves us, he delights in answering our prayers, that he cares for us, and that you got to sometimes push in hard. You got to press in those prayers and have them be passionate and engaged with God, and he'll answer in various ways. And so we appreciate Sister Doss and all the group of gals that met, and we're looking forward to next month's gathering. Again, we meet on the first Tuesday of every month in Springfield, and if you need more information, stop by greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, or wluj.org, and you'll see I'm a pastor's wife, what's your superpower? Click on that, and it'll take you right to a link where you can sign up and find out more. So we appreciate all those lovely ladies that gathered, and also those of you in and around the Decatur area or travel into Decatur. You may have noticed since about 8:45 on Wednesday morning that our 100.1 FM has been off the air. We're in the midst of trying to relocate a new tower location and get it all set up. It could be some months down the road, and we're waiting for FCC approval. That's the Federal Communications approval for the move, but the tower had to come down. It was on a person's property. They're putting in a swimming pool, and they wanted the tower moved, so we had to accommodate. It was their tower on their property, but for now, 100.1 FM indicator is off the air, so you can still possibly pick up our 89.7 FM frequency from Springfield, or our 102.5 FM frequency from the Fisher-Foosland area. So if you're in Decatur, try those two frequencies or call us and we'll try to recommend some other options for you to tune in, maybe with a better antenna or a super radio. But call us at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Well, Pastor Jason Schiffo is out and about doing the Lord's work, and so he arranged to have a good friend, Audie Puckett, fill in and show up, and here she is. And so, Audie, I know you as a free agent for Jesus. You're passionate about pouring into people's lives, testifying and witnessing to them about the Lord Jesus and how he's the reason for the Christmas season, for every season. He's Lord and Savior. What else would you want our listeners to know before we look at this topic out of 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 17? Because we're going to talk about unavoidable change. When you interact with Jesus, when you meet Jesus' followers, you're going to have some changes going on in your life. And first and foremost, if you haven't come to know Jesus, you're going to have a life change because he loves and cares for you. But Audie, give me a little thumbnail sketch of who you are or what you'd want listeners to know about you or your faith journey.
Well,
she's got really big eyes right now. I'm ready to teach and talk about this change that people can have with Jesus, but I didn't want to talk about myself, but I want our listeners to know you a little better.
Wife and mother of 8 blended children. Mm-hmm. That's a little psycho.
Yeah.
I've walked with Jesus for quite some time, and I can tell you that under no circumstances did I ever imagine that I would be doing anything like this. professionally, I'm a mental health coach, and I actually get to blend everything that I learn about Jesus into the coaching of my clients, which is amazing. Never thought that would be possible. And I never set out to preach or evangelize or anything like that. All I can tell people is that I can look back over my life from the time I ever heard about Jesus, and I can see like this trajectory of step-by-step processes with him. And each time it has been a matter of choosing to draw near to him. And so when we talk about Jesus, you know, with other believers or with non-believers, you are generally going to get one of two reactions when you get near Jesus. You're either going to be repelled or you are going to be attracted. It's going to be one of the two because, you know, the gospel is offensive to the flesh, right? So based on who you are as a person, where you've been, what you've experienced, and whether or not you've actually paid attention to Jesus calling your name, how you respond is going to be vastly different from person to person. And I just really, I've been spending a lot of time reflecting on the choices I feel I've been led to by the Holy Spirit. Not because I got up one day and decided that that's what I was going to do. The choice I made was to follow.
I like how Steve Brown often says, I'm just a beggar that found bread that's trying to share that bread with others. It's something like that. And Ted, I'm thinking, read it again.
Okay.
And then we're going to have Audie launch into our discussion on the topic of finding yourself being changed as you get to know Jesus or as you learn about Jesus or you read his word or you interact with other Christ followers, how there should be change taking place, daily change, you know, whether it's refinement of your character or whether it's garnering new insights into his leading, whether it's just appreciating him more and more for the sacrificial death that he did on our part, knowing that we're forgiven from our sins and our past and that he walks with us. I mean, there's a whole host of reasons why we worship and follow Jesus, but we'll be focusing on remarks from 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 17.
Okay. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Amen.
Amen. So, Audie is a free agent for Jesus, and I love to say that about people, because you've served in a number of different roles. You've preached at different churches. You help out at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. You help with women's ministries. You do a lot of different things. So is that okay to call you a free agent for Jesus?
I mean, it's definitely not an insult. I figure that's cool.
Okay.
But I would say, like, there are all of these things that I do. You know, my coaching at Two Roads Wellness Clinic. I help host a ladies' fellowship on Saturday mornings. I have little disciples that like follow and call, you know, and things like that. But I've learned that it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. I just believe that God made me a little textured.
So, aren't we all?
Yeah, a little textured, and I have very peculiar ways of approaching things, and I think that's useful for the largely unseen populations. You know, people who are coming from walks of life that most conventional humans may not understand. I get to speak to them, and that is a beautiful thing.
Well, I was also thinking, I wrote down secular versus sacred, because many times we can say, well, what I do on Sunday or attending church or my Christian activities are sacred, and yet the other part of my life is secular. And No. That should always be integrated. Where you go to work, the people you interact with, all of that can be sacred, can be used of God. That's that passage that Jason and many others love to talk about. Go into all your world, and as you go, so whatever you do, activities, common things to very spiritual things, it all can fall under our sacred calling to follow Jesus.
the as you go, and I'm the same person on Sunday as I am on a Wednesday, you know, and I really appreciate the fact that God has been teaching me to settle in my spirit. And that's another one of those things that's actually a part of the scripture. It says, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, that's in the middle of verse 16. I remember only being able to view Christ as a lofty ideal. I remember living in that space and having the belief that, well, I know who Jesus is. And when I was 8, I got saved across the dinner table, you know, from my mom. And I carried that as sufficient for my life. I now, remember that.
I'm going to jump in. You didn't get saved from your mom.
I mean, my mom walked me through it.
She assisted. I just wanted to make sure you didn't get taken away from her.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, no. Different show. I mean, like.
Now coming to testimony time. And any other thoughts as Audie is going to get ready to share some of her insights into this passage? But Alaric or Tad, the Zools, anything else about the change that you see take place as you study God's word or get to know Jesus better?
I find it life gets so much easier simply because you love Jesus. It brings out the very best in everyone that you have a conversation with. Mm-hmm.
Alaric, do you think by following Jesus you've had a more powerful, full interactions with people, or they see something different about you?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Tad? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Elmer was saying that, you know, the closer you get to him, you get along better with people. I'm going, well, I'm thinking of a few people that the closer you get to Jesus, the more people are like, I don't like you anymore. You're not fun anymore.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would say that, in my experience, Jesus makes us more than we are.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Way more than we are.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the point, right?
Well, that's the point. I think it's Ecclesiastes 3:11, maybe. It says that God has made everything beautiful in its own time, and he has placed eternity in the hearts of man. Mm-hmm. Our spirits know who he is. And that's amazing. Like, by design, we are made, and some people might contend with this, I don't know, but I feel that we are designed incomplete on purpose, because only one thing completes us.
Yeah, life is a journey.
Yeah.
And that sanctification process that we're all on. Because I think that if we suddenly had too many good days in a row, we would suddenly not lean into Jesus as we need to, or we'd take for granted how he's our Savior and Lord and how we're wretched, or we'd become prideful and we'd start judging everyone else and holding them to our new standard and saying they're not measuring up because they don't meet what we think they should be doing. So I like this first part of the verse. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. What did you glean, or what do you think about that?
Oh, man. Looking at other people through the eyes of Jesus is the most spectacular thing I have ever seen. Because when I'm looking at the person that's in opposition to me or whatever, or behaving in a certain way, I'm able, by the Holy Spirit, not because of who I am, but because of who God is, I am able to see the behavior of the person and understand that that behavior has a source. It has a root. It exists for a reason. And I get to go into prayer on behalf of that person for their healing, for the uprooting of whatever it is that's causing that behavior. I get to do that. And that's just amazing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I mean, some new healthy conviction in my mind. We regard no one from a worldly point of view. And I was just thinking, what would be Christ's point of view? He would value them. Mm-hmm. He would care about them. He, in fact, loves them. He cherishes them, in fact, and he created them. And they're just maybe not at the point where they've understood his love or have decided to follow him. But we should never underestimate God's timing in their lives, and we can be that positive role model or that encouraging person to help them on their faith journey. Mm-hmm. So I like the wording, just to think that we should look at no one aside from how God would look at them, in a sense.
Absolutely. So I think that when we do grow in our relationship with Christ, sometimes we run the risk of forgetting that we are saved by grace. Not our intelligence, not our might or power, but by my spirit saith the Lord, right? So to me, the natural progression of things would be, if we are saved by grace, then our growth in Christ is happening by the same.
By extending grace, by learning to extend grace to others.
By the grace of God. This is how it's happening. When we read that passage for like the 50th time, and finally something pops out to us, this is not happening by our intelligence. This is happening by the revelation of God.
I thought about the Lord's Prayer that we oftentimes say at noon when we meet up or in other gatherings, and forgive us our sins as we forgive others that have sinned against us, forgive us our trespasses, and you know, and so in the same way, they're at a different place on their faith journey, but we are called to forgive them as we've been forgiven. So
now I realize that when we talk about stuff like this to some listeners, we might be presenting the information like this is a mellow, steady process. This is largely untrue. This is very untrue. We really have to consider also the hindrances to this growth in Christ. And this is just personal experience walking with the Lord. The way we are taught to do things in this world really takes our eye off of God and the salvation that's been gifted to us. And we grow stagnant in our faith and our growth in Christ, and it makes the journey a whole lot harder than it has to be.
That's what I wrote down. Takes hard work, it's sacrificial, it's unselfish, all the things that are hard to work through or be proficient in, because we're self-centered and we want to right the wrong. But again, Jesus modeled that, and he's calling us to look at people through those lenses. This verse goes on, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Can we all get a testimony on that?
Or Amen.
Excited about that, that we are new in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. But is that also a process?
That's absolutely a process to me, for sure. The old being passed away and the new being here, reconciling that in the human mind is not very easy. And to help myself remember that I'm not the person that I used to be, I allow my head to go back to the garden and picture those two trees. We hear a lot about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but a lot of times we don't really spend much time talking about that tree of life, which was the other option. So I get to ask myself in my decision making, am I making living decisions or am I making dead ones? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that bought us death. So as I'm moving along, I've already decided to follow, but day by day, am I deciding to abide?
Oh, you're going to get me fired up. I've been reading John chapter 15 for about 14 days in a row now.
My absolute favorite.
And I read it every single morning when I wake up, and I think about it, and I stop at different portions. In fact, at the First Lady Ministries on Tuesday, I shared two of the verses where Jesus, it's the only thing in the Bible that I noted where Jesus commanded people. He answered, what's the most important commandment? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We know that. But in John 15, two different places, it says, I command you to love one another. And I don't think I've ever heard a message where these are words where Jesus emphatically says, I command you, love one another. And so it's kind of revolutionizes my thinking, but it fits so well here that we are to look at people, you know, from his point of view, and that means we are to love them. He commands us to love people. I was like, why didn't anyone preach that Jesus commands this?
And that is the law that Jesus came to fulfill. Loving the Lord our God and loving our neighbor.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a great opportunity to let the Spirit work on you, because our natural fallen nature is to not do that.
Correct.
And the only way we can is to let Jesus work in us.
Mm-hmm. And that's many of the sections of this John chapter 15 is abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. Apart from you, you can do nothing. And so you need him to carry you along, to strengthen you. But it's all about abiding in him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that means being connected. That means reading his word, being around like-minded believers, mm-hmm. praying to him. That's why Paul would say, pray without ceasing. Because the only way you're going to abide in Jesus is by always being connected to him. He's the vine, we are the branches. And so, yeah, that's the assignment, everyone. Before this weekend, be reading John chapter 15. I think out of the 15 or 16 days, I think I missed one day and did it later at night, but I gleaned so many different truths. It's a great passage in the Bible, and it's all about bearing fruit. And you can bear fruit to God's glory. It's an exciting passage, John chapter 15. But read through 2 Corinthians 5, 16, and 17 today. In our closing couple minutes, any other thoughts, Audie or friends, on 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17?
Well, I got to say that's everything we've been saying here. It kind of goes along with my way of looking at things. And every time you encounter someone else, always look for something good in them.
Yes.
Because we are all different. Mm-hmm. So we look at things differently. And if you have Jesus, you're always looking for something good that you can share.
Mm-hmm. And I think it also requires trust in Jesus. Because on our own, we're always trusting in our own strength, and it's not enough.
It is not enough. Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep thinking of Peter walking on the water. He got out on the boat because Jesus called it. But once he got out there, hey, check me out. Down he went.
Yeah. He started looking, hey, shouldn't I be afraid here? Look at these waves. Sink. Yeah, yeah. Well, listening, friend, there's so much into God's word, and meeting with other friends like we're doing here in the studio, where you get opinions and thoughts and insights. Other followers of Jesus have the Holy Spirit working in them, and so you don't have to be totally proficient, know all the Bible. Maybe you've never read it through before. Well, begin reading or read a section and talk with a friend or two or meet with people and say, hey, there's this interesting discussion about 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17. I read it this way. What do you think? And ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you, to guide you, to help you understand the truths, and then put them into practice. If something brings healthy conviction to your mind or heart, then apply that. Or if a friend or a neighbor or a loved one comes to mind, pray for them and maybe follow up with a phone call, because God could be putting together a divine appointment where he wants you to speak truth or insight or be a great listening ear to hear some of their problems or heartaches and how you can more effectively pray for them. So we recommend reading God's word daily. Be in church this Sunday. And meet with other fellow believers, because we can all grow as we grow together. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Audie Puckett and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.